That is the hope. I think organizationally that would be fun to see him and Ohtani kind of be a little bit more nationally prominent, because those guys really are incredible players. He's a little bit old school. I mean, he's kind of similar to Mike Socha in some ways as a former catcher, a really smart guy.
Welcome to WST, your West Coast source for sports. I'm your host, Kyle, and today we're joined by the Los Angeles Angels beat writer for MLB.com, Rhett Bollinger. Welcome to the show, Rhett, and welcome back to California.
Thank you, Kyle. I'm excited to be on the show. Thanks for having me on.
So after covering the Minnesota Twins for the last 8 seasons, you're making your way back to the best coast, the West Coast. What are you most excited about?
Well, certainly the weather will be a nice change of pace going from Minnesota the last 8 seasons. From Los Angeles area, from Glendora, grew up down here, and so I was kind of happy to be back in Southern California and cover the Angels. You know, I loved my time in Minnesota for 7 seasons, for 8 seasons, sorry, and then had a good time covering a team there, but I always wanted to get back, and now I got that opportunity. So it's an exciting time for me, and then I think, you know, to be able to cover Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and the rest of the team. A new manager in Brad Ausmus. It should be kind of an exciting time for the Angels going forward. We'll kind of find out what they're going to do with, you know, Mike Trout's contract expiring in 2 years. So definitely an important time for that organization, and I'm excited to be able to cover that.
An exciting time for baseball. It's the off season. It's the hot stove. The winter meetings was last week. How do you think the winter meetings and the off season is going so far for the Angels?
Well, so far it's been a little bit slow for the Angels. You know, they definitely need pitching. That's kind of the biggest thing. You know, last year they were in it. They were playing pretty well. The pitching, everyone, it seemed like the entire rotation got hurt, which didn't help the cause. So I think the big thing they want to find right now is starting pitching, guys that are durable. They did solve one need at the winter meetings. They signed Justin Bour, you know, kind of a power hitter, being a left-handed first baseman. They can pair him at first base with Albert Pujols, with Ohtani at DH. So it made some sense to sign him. I think they have to get a catcher at this point as well. I'd like to find a veteran catcher they can maybe kind of plug in there to help out their young pitchers. And bullpen help as well. I mean, I don't think they'll go after a closer per se, but I would think they have to add at least, you know, maybe another couple more relievers. Might need to be a trade at this point. Colt Calhoun's a guy they could trade because of money reasons. So a lot of moving parts, but the biggest thing for them, though, is definitely going to be getting pitching here the rest of the offseason.
Well, there's a couple big names out there in the bullpen, like Andrew Miller and Zach Britton. Do you think general manager Billy Epler will make a big splash signing either one of those guys?
I think there's a chance. You know, both those guys are coming off injuries. You know, if those guys were didn't have the injury history they did, I think they'd be a lot more expensive. I think because there could be a little bit of a discount, it could make some sense. At the same time, I don't know that those two specifically are fully on their radar. But I do think that they would come at a little bit of a discount because of their injury history. We know Andrew Miller's had issues with his knees and everything with the Indians. And, you know, Britt last year came with the season late after surgery as well, I believe from his Achilles. So there's been some injury concerns with those two. But I do think that I'm sure they're on the Angels' radar because the Angels are out there kind of checking on everybody. And they could take a flyer on one of those guys. I think it's more likely they'd sign Britton, I think, than Miller. But I do think right now, really, any reliever, I think they're at least going to have some interest in.
Yeah, and I've also heard that they're kind of looking around for catchers. Wilson Ramos was a name that was mentioned, but he signed with the Mets. Another guy who's out there who just played, you know, for the Dodgers and isn't too far away is Grandal. Have you heard anything about Grandal or any other catchers they may be targeting?
Yeah, and Grandal, too, might be a guy that might get too big of a deal at this point. I mean, Grandal did have a tough October, but he was still a very good catcher last year. I think they're more likely to maybe go after a reunion with maybe Martin Maldonado. Jonathan Lucroy is a guy that's out there, too, that's a veteran that can be on a cheaper deal. I think they're more likely to get a guy on a one-year deal to kind of be a stopgap, kind of veteran guy to help out, more so than Grandal is more of a, you know, offense. Also, Grandal can definitely catch, too, a good pitch framer and everything. I don't know if they're willing to go as many years and dollars as Grandal wants. I think they'd rather spend that money on starting pitching. So I think they're more likely to sign a veteran to a one-year deal as a catcher and then spend that money elsewhere on pitching.
Now, you mentioned starting pitching, and there were some injuries last year. What does the rotation look like beyond Andrew Heaney and Tyler Skaggs?
It's a good question. At this point, you know, Jaime Barria had a nice year as a rookie. We know that at this point that Otani cannot pitch next year. So there's going to be some open slots now after that. You know, they've got a couple of arms. Some guys coming back from Tommy John surgery as well. I think Nick Tropiano will be in that mix as well. But they, you know, they decided to part ways with some injured guys like Matt Shoemaker was non-tendered. So there's going to be at least one open spot there in the back of their rotation. So I do think that's kind of why it's such a need right now. If they, you know, if Otani was healthy and had that slot there, which would really help them. But, you know, without him there, it's going to be a little bit tougher. So almost like they lost, you know, with Tommy John, they really lost kind of an ace in a sense, too. I know he didn't pitch a lot of innings last year, but so it's going to be a lot to replace him. And, yeah, so I do think there's at least a couple more slots. They've got some other guys in the minor leagues they like as well that aren't quite ready yet. I'm not going to look at them a little bit in spring training, but I do think there's certainly some depth there. But at the same time, I think they're going to at least get these one or two starters to kind of fill out the rest of that rotation.
Yeah, I read where they traded for Dylan Peters. He could potentially be a fifth starter or see some action in the bullpen. But like you mentioned, with Otani out, they're going to have to look for some people to step up, or they're going to have to make a couple more moves out there.
Exactly. That's kind of the big thing right now. It's a priority for starting pitching, just because they need durability, too, like we talked about before. You know, the Angels last year saw a lot of guys get hurt. Garrett Richards was one of them. You know, he signed with, I believe, the Padres earlier this offseason as well. So, it's going to be – it could come via trades. They're not really that interested in trading away their prospects, though, at this point. I think they're kind of trying to build for the future a little bit as well. So I don't think that they're going to probably trade anybody too big in terms of prospects for pitching. So I think they're not going to spend money on pitching. But let's say we were to get, like, I think maybe if they were to trade Calhoun, they might look for some relief help. But I don't think he'd bring back a starter. So, they do have Peters as well, like you said. And they do have some depth, but at the same time, I think that's some kind of guys they can count on. I think J.C. Ramirez will be coming back from Tommy John in, like, May or June or so. So there are some guys there, but it's definitely a thing where they got to kind of add some more stability there.
Now, if we go back to Otani, he's last year's Rookie of the Year. He took the league by storm. He was a hitter. He dominated when he did pitch, but he did get sidelined from pitching from Tommy John. What does his timetable look like for returning to this team?
It's a great question, one we don't know the answer to quite yet. Billy Epler at the winter meetings is kind of coy about exactly when he'll return. Part of it doesn't want to jump the gun because he does have some more checkups with doctors. Brad Ausmus, though, is a little bit more forthright in saying that he doesn't believe that Otani will be ready for the start of the season. That's about as far as we've heard so far, is that we don't think that he'll be ready for the start of the season. But we don't know how long it's going to take for him to, you know, be ready. It shouldn't be too long in terms of the fact that Tommy John, for a position player, you know, generally can be a 6 to 8 month process, much shorter than for a pitcher. So I can see him being back, you know, early in the season by like May or so. We'll kind of see too how much he's going to be able to hit. Can he play every day? We know he's only going to be DH, but is it going to be an everyday thing or give him some rest against lefties here and there? So I think that's all going to be kind of decided here. From what Billy Epler said, it sounds like they're going to try to get a plan kind of formulated more likely in late January. He's going to meet with Dr. Alatras then, meet with the Angels doctors, kind of get a plan. Right now it's a little bit too early to say exactly when he'll be able to return from the surgery.
So if we look at Otani, you know, he'll DH when he's available. You also got Albert, who's coming back from some injuries to, I believe, his knees. And then the Angels signed Justin Bour as well. So you have three players. You have Pujols, you have Bour, and you have Otani for DH and first base. How do you think Ausmus will split up the playing time?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. We kind of asked Epler about that a little bit, too, at the winter meetings. And I think right now it's still a little bit to be determined. But you got to figure that early in the year, if Otani's not ready, that right out of the bat they'll have, you know, Pujols probably DH and have Bour as their first baseman. And then from there, once Otani's ready, I'm guessing at this point Otani's going to play as much as he's allowed to play in terms of medically allowed to play. And if he's healthy enough, he can play every day. Except for against tough lefties, I think he's going to be lined as much as they possibly can get him in there. And then at first base, it's just going to be kind of rotating Pujols and Bour based on matchups. You know, Bour, it could be a platoon in terms of the fact that Bour's left-handed hitter. Bour could face all the right-handers and have Albert face the lefties. The only issue is that Albert Pujols, the last 2 years, really hasn't hit lefties well at all. He's actually hit right-handers better. It could just be a fluke, but it could be a good partnership if he can hit some lefties, but Like you said, Albert Pujols is coming off the knee surgery, caused him to miss part of last season. The hope is he's going to be healthy going into the year. It shouldn't be restricted the way that Otani is early on in the season. But, yeah, I mean, Albert Pujols is kind of getting to the twilight of his career, but, the, you know, still under contract for the next three seasons. So a guy they have to figure out what's going to happen with him going forward. And he's got to produce because he really hasn't been producing in recent years.
Yeah, I think the good news is they have some depth. You know, if Albert's not healthy or if Otani's timeline is delayed a little bit, they have a little bit of flexibility there. So if we move into Mr. Trout, the best player in baseball, and I can't believe it's taken us 10 minutes to finally talk about him, but he's entering into his ninth year. What do you think it will be like to watch him play and cover him every day now that you're the beat writer for the Angels?
I'm excited. That's probably the most exciting thing, you know, to hear about the fact that, you know, I'm going to cover probably, you know, 130 games or so next year and be able to see him play that much. Is going to be amazing. You know, I got to see him play a decent amount covering the Twins in terms of when they played the Angels during the season. And I even saw him as a minor leaguer when I was first covering the Angels back in I covered the draft, actually, 2008, they drafted him when I was an intern covering the Angels for MLB.com. So he's a name that I followed since the start, since he was in the minor leagues. It's been fun to watch him develop into the, you know, the best player in the league and really one of the best players of all time. I get some of the advanced stats here. So it's going to be fun to kind of see this, well, what he can do offensively, some of the hot streaks he can get into. And, you know, he's still a good defender out there in center, too, to make a lot of good plays. So, you know, to see the best all-around player is definitely an exciting thing as a beat writer to be around that and to see that. And just to see him kind of be able to be, kind of carry the team, I'm sure, at certain points of the season, will be really cool to be able to watch him kind of ply his trade because he really is an incredible player.
He can dominate the game in so many different ways with his bat, his legs, his defense, his arm. He's just, he's a treat to watch. So hopefully the Angels can build some support around him and get to the playoffs and make a long run so everyone can see him.
Exactly. That's a big thing too. You know, he's got two more years left on his deal. So the big question is, you know, how much are they willing to build around him the next 2 years? And obviously the big thing they can try to do this offseason is try to extend it. You know, his contracts, they'd love to have him in Anaheim his whole career. Sign him to a lifetime deal, but it would cost, you know, the cost would be pretty crazy. He's the best player in the league. The contract extension would be insane. And yeah, it's too bad, like you said, it's tough that he's only been in the playoff one time in his career, and the one playoffs they went to, you know, I think they got swept by the Royals. He was 1-for-12 with a homer, so didn't really go too well for the Angels. So yeah, I think on a national stage, it would be nice for baseball for him to kind of be on a better team and now on a team that's kind of more visibility in the playoffs. So that is the hope. I think organizationally that would be fun to see him and Otani kind of be a little bit more nationally prominent because those guys really are incredible players.
Where do you think Ausmus will hit Trout in the lineup this year?
Sounds like he's in about second. It sounded like from talking to Ausmus at the winter meetings. He likes Trout batting second, gets him a lot of bats that way, and still gets some runners in scoring position for him. You know, I know he's kind of batted a little bit of third as well, but I think Ausmus' big thing is he wants, you know, Trout to bat as much as he possibly can without batting leadoff. So I think second's the plan for now.
And if we dive deeper into Brad Ausmus, you got to see him a lot during his 4 years with the Tigers, 2014 through 2017, when you were covering the Twins. How would you describe Ausmus as a manager?
He's a little bit old school. I mean, he's kind of similar to Mike Socha in some ways. As a former catcher, a really smart guy, you know, he's an Ivy League educated guy. But I think he's kind of a little bit laid back in some ways too, because he's, you know, he's down here. He lives in Del Mar. He's a surfer, so I think that persona will probably play a lot better down here in Anaheim than it would in Detroit. I think the big thing too was in Detroit, he came in kind of as a young guy, didn't really have any experience at all managing. He came into without really knowing the organization. He was kind of like one of those hires where the Tigers wanted one of those kind of former players that was out of the game recently, but you know, had some experience, you know, in the front offices, and didn't really have the experience yet. I think now being with the, you know, having that experience with the Tigers, you know, last year too, he spent the entire year as kind of an assistant GM or assistant to the GM for the Angels, where he kind of was roaming around and even seeing minor league affiliates and learning about, you know, sabermetrics and you know, all the new data we have from Statcast in the front office. So for him, I think last year was a really big year for him to kind of take a year away from managing, but be able to kind of spend some time around the front office and kind of learn more about the way the game is changing. And I do think, like I said, I do think personality-wise, him being kind of a laid-back, more Del Mar surfer guy, I think will kind of be a better fit down here. So, and in terms of actual on the field, he's not a guy that really bunts for anything too much, even though he's a little bit more old school. So, but yeah, we'll kind of see how it goes. You never know, some guys kind of could change things based on their personnel. But I did see him a lot in Detroit, and I do think, though, that this is a good fit for the organization.
Yeah, sometimes the second time around, you can draw upon your experiences and you're a little bit more laid back and you're a little bit more confident. So I think he will do better in Southern California, and he will do better with all the experience he had in Detroit.
I totally agree with that. Absolutely. 100%.
If we go into a couple of their prospects, Joe Adell, who's an outfielder, I believe he's the number one prospect, and then Griffin Canning, the number two prospect, he's a pitcher. Any idea on what their timeline looks like for getting to the big leagues?
Yeah, so Joe Adell is their number one prospect. I think he's number 15 overall by MLB.com. A fast riser. He's an outfielder, center fielder with power, too. I mean, I think ideally he'd be kind of at the Mike Trout mold, but I don't think anyone could ever assume anyone's going to be as good as Trout. But at least a guy who's kind of a five-tool type player who can affect the game, like you said earlier, in a lot of different ways. Adell, though, is very young. He's probably 19 years old. But did reach double A last year. So you got to figure this year, you have a chance to start out at double A. And from there, you know, if they're at double A, you can always only a phone call away to the big league. So there's a chance we could see him this year late in the season. I mean, I guess more likely is probably being 2020. But at the same time, I mean, with the way he played last year, there's certainly no stopping him towards the fact that he could be up there by next year. I think Canning's a guy, too. Same thing. I think ideally you'd give him another year to develop. And he'd be up there the next year. But with the pitching needs, you never know. If the Angels staff gets hurt, those kind of things, he's very close as well. The Angels haven't announced it yet, but I think both of them should be in spring training in the major league camp. Billy Epler was saying they're more likely to announce their plans for that in late January. But just from the sound of it, those guys are the top two guys for them and a big part of their future. I do think they're going to kind of get their first look at big league camp, which is always a good experience for these guys to be around the big leaguers and see how they kind of get their work done during spring training and all that. So it'll be big for them. And it's fun, too, as a reporter, to be able to get a chance to see those guys play a little bit more, and even for management. Now, Brad Osper's going to get more of a chance to see those guys play. But I do think, like I said, they're more likely late season or probably more likely the next year.
Yeah, it will be fun to see them in spring training and to see them play along with the other players. I know I'm always excited for spring to see the next up-and-coming players, so hopefully I'll get a chance to watch them as well. Last question, and we can wrap up here. Your USC Trojans, your alma mater, they just announced Cliff Kingsbury, who will be the offensive coordinator. Will he be able to bring your Trojans back to prominence?
That's a hope. My gosh, I hope so. I mean, I love my Trojans. I grew up a USC fan in Southern California and was lucky enough to go there during the Pete Carroll era. I covered the Reggie Bush years and the Matt Leinart and all those years, and back when they were in national prominence, back-to-back titles and all that when I was there. So, right now it's been frustrating to watch bowl games, and USC's not even in one. So I do think that his air raid personnel will play well with the guys they have. I hope that he stays there. I've heard some rumors, if the NFL came calling, he could leave. But at this point, I hope that at least stays for the 1 year. And I do think it'll help them. I think in general, there's still some issues with Clay Helton as a head coach, but I do hope maybe he can help mask those problems with an offense that should score a lot of points next year.
We had an interview earlier in the week with Pedro Mora, the Los Angeles Dodgers beat writer for The Athletic. He's also a USC grad. So we asked him the same Cliff Kingsbury question. So I guess it's our WST question of the week. And you answered it properly. Go Trojans. Fight on.
Exactly. Fight on.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.